Father, we believe that you heal. We believe that it is your desire, Lord, that your people be strong, healthy, capable, have a good future, have possibilities, Father God, and have prosperity in relationship, mental health, physical health, spiritual health. Father, this is your will because your word says, let it be on earth as it is in heaven, Father God, and there's not many cripples in heaven. So, Father, I just pray that today, as we have said these prayers in faith, that, Lord, we will hear of your work and your hand in their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, you know what? I've been wanting to talk about this for a while, worry and fear, because I don't think there's anything that is more prevalent in our society than worry and fear. It's absolutely causing our society to come apart at the seams. And there's some good reasons for it. There's some good natural medicines that we can do. One is don't listen to the news. That's one. Because if we really do not believe the fact that the news has an absolutely destructive force behind it, there is no need for us to listen to the amount of destruction, horror, and stuff that's going on, and sit there and allow it to come into our minds. Under what biblical direction would we do that? To sit there and allow all of, they will go to the ends of the earth to find out. I saw something the other day, I was just going through my Google feed, and it showed a university was starting to fall in Russia, somewhere in the hinterland of Russia. This building was just starting to fall. Well, why is that news in Halifax? Why? Why? No one's killed. There's just, they had to find something to fill the 4 minutes. So they go and try to find some disaster, car accident, a house fire in northern Manitoba. Why has that got news for us? Why are we listening to that? Because there is an agenda. It's not a man-made agenda. It's a spiritual agenda. To try to keep us in a state of fear and apprehension and anxiety. Because as far as I know, those things are the complete opposite of faith. They really are. Now, faith, I believe, can happen in the midst of those things. Faith is just behaving up and above those feelings and emotions. But nonetheless, if we are keeping ourselves in a constant state of fear and anxiety, then there is something wrong, I think, in our perception, first and foremost, of God. Of God. And this is what I think God wants to talk about this morning. Mark 4, 35, 41. I think it's there. There it is. So, they are down at the Sea of Galilee. And I think, is there a picture? No, there isn't a picture there. But the Sea of Galilee is a big body of water. I was on it. And it's like, is it there? Oh, God bless you. Gee, I didn't know I put that in there. But so it's a big body of water. And so what happens is the wind comes down from the sides of the mountains there, and it can get really crazy. If you've been out on the Halifax Harbor in the ferry when it's rough, that's not a big body of water. What's that, a kilometer or two maybe across? This is like 13 or 15 kilometers across. So it's a big body of water. It can get rough there. It really can. So they had just been on the other side, and the disciples and Jesus got in the boat, and they're heading out. It says, that day when evening came, he said to his disciples, let us go over to the other side. Jesus said, let us go over to the other side. Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was. Not sure what that means. Like, just as he was. Was he in some kind of a state? Was he all, did he have stuff all over his clothes? Like, we don't know what that's referring to. In the boat. There were also other boats with him, which is very interesting. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, or in the back of the boat, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, teacher, don't you care if we drown? He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, quiet, be still. Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." There's some statement, there's some thought that the word used there for rebuking the wind is used for rebuking the enemy, and that the storm might have been a demonic thing that came to try to, of course, destroy them. But nonetheless, what's interesting to look at first is that Jesus said, "We're going to the other side." Anybody who's been in Christianity for any period of time knows where I'm going with this, but it bears repeating. Jesus said, "We're going to the other side." And if Jesus says we're going to the other side, we're going to the other side. Last I checked, when Jesus says he's going to do something, he's going to do it. And the gates of hell will not prevail against the church of Jesus Christ. The only thing that can stop you from going to the other side, so to speak, in your life is if you agree with the force that is trying to stop you from going to the other side. That Jesus cannot counter. He'll try. He'll try to convince us and try to encourage us and try to tell us. But if we insist on believing the negative, the impossible, the can't, shouldn't, wouldn't, all those things, then we end our lives not living the full life that God had died to give us. But Jesus said, "We're going to the other side." So he got in the boat, and what did he do? He fell asleep. He fell asleep. And then the storm kicked up. This storm kicked up. And it, you know, the disciples were really scared. And they should have been. I don't know if anyone's frightened of deep water. I'm terrified of deep water. I can swim. And if I was in a storm like that, I'd swim to shore if I had to. But I am terrified of deep seawater. And so here they were. And these were fishermen. And they know what it's like. Peter had been on that lake. He had fished that lake. So he knew what that lake was all about. And if Peter says we're going to die, then it was bad. Peter was saying, "We got to get ourselves out of here." So he knew. And so it was a legitimately terrifying situation. And many of us go through legitimately terrifying situations. And we would be very, very naive to think in our life that when Jesus said to us, "I'm taking you to the other side," that piece of scripture that says he has begun a good work in you and he is going to work to complete it until the day it's done. That's God's intention. That's what God's intention is. But if we are naive enough to think that we are not going to face obstacles on the way to that other side, then we have a very faulty sense of Christianity. And we say, "Well, everybody understands that." Oh, do we? Do we really understand that? Did you ever see anybody in the church, Christians in the church? I've done it. We've all done it. Where a difficulty happens, something you never expect it, and you get all out of sorts. What's going on? You call 50 people to pray. It's this huge thing. It is this massive event, as if something untoward is happening. No, this is what happens. This is it. We are in a very real struggle. Yes, the Lord said, you know, "Let it be on earth as it is in heaven." Yes, he did say that. But the fact is, we ain't in heaven. We're on earth. We're on the earthly plane. And there are very real forces trying to stop us from getting to the place that God wants us to get to in our life. And so we have to be prepared for it and not freak out. Like, I got an email recently that said, "Urgent prayer," because somebody in the church had something wrong, something that happened. They had to go to the hospital or something. And I've said this to the leadership, and I've said it to anyone who will listen to me. There is no such thing as an urgent prayer in Jesus' vocabulary. He's just praying, man. God saw it coming. What, God didn't see that person going in the hospital? Like, what's urgent about it? God has this in control. And that's the first thing we have to understand. God has it in control. That doesn't mean we don't ask for prayer, but God has it in control, and asking for prayer agrees with that fact. Says, "Okay, I believe the one who's got this in control is God. So we're going to pray and say, 'God, your divine will be done here.' We trust you that what is right is going to happen. And if the Lord gives you anything else in prayer to pray about, then you pray about that. But there's nothing in a panic. I never saw Jesus in a panic anywhere in the Bible. And he wasn't running anywhere in the Bible either. He just going along, doing the do, right? He knew exactly where he was going, and he knew the obstacles that he was going to face, and he faced them all the time. The devil would come up in front of him, manifest through people. He came through Peter. Peter tried to stop him from going to Jerusalem. The spiritual hierarchy of the day, the Pharisees, they would come at him and they would try to attack him. Every possible way he could be attacked, he was attacked. And he just kept on going. He said his face was like a flint towards Jerusalem. That he knew where he was going. He knew why he was here. And that is something that you and I need to get a hold of. We need to know why we're here. Why are we here? Are we just here to get an education and go get a job enough to buy a car and a mortgage and a good pension? Well, that's part. That would be great. But that may not be why we're here. What we do while we're here is not exactly our purpose. Like the job and all that stuff. Our purpose is something else, which is a whole other discussion. But we need to understand that on our, as we go to the other side, we are going to face struggles. We are going to face things. And so they wake Jesus up, all in a panic. The fact that he's asleep in the back of that boat is hilarious. Because it would have been rocking and going and rocking and going. What kind of peace is it that allows somebody to be in that situation and go to sleep? And, oh, well, he's God and he knew all things. No, 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 no. Jesus gave all that up. When he came down and took on a human form, he took on you and me. He was in a human form. He was subject to the limitations of the human condition. He gave all that up. It says he gave that up, that Godhead type thing, to come down and be human. Now, he was also God at the same time. That's a mystery we don't understand. But the fact is, he was working with the same stuff you and I are working with. Only he worked with it so much better. So much better. So here he is, asleep in the back of the boat. What possibly could have caused him to be asleep in the back of that boat? And people say, well, he got up and he rebuked the storm. And of course, us being charismatics and we like the pizzazz, we want to go out and calm the storm and walk in the water and raise the dead, which is okay, I guess. But that's not what God wanted us to see here. What God wanted us to see here was that Jesus was asleep in the back of the boat. And he was asleep in the back of his boat because he knew his Father. He knew his Father. And he knew that his Father was not going to let him drown in the middle of a lake. He just knew that. So he was able to go to sleep with peace and know that while he slept, he was safe. While he slept, God was going to watch over him, that his heavenly Father was going to watch over him. We all think the miracle here is Jesus calming the sea. That's not the miracle. The miracle is that he was able to sleep in the middle of the storm. And I cannot go away from the scripture without saying there's sometimes we need to just go to sleep in the middle of the storm. We need to just lay our heads down and know that God is okay. I am so tired of panic in the body of Christ. Panic. Just panic and terror and scared and, oh my heavens, we got to pray about, oh my heavens, this and oh my heavens, everything. Wait a minute. We have an almighty God in heaven who is putting everything together, who said that he would, it says, his angels encamp about his righteous ones in the Old Testament. Well, who are his righteous ones? We are, because, not because we're great or good, that's for sure, it's because we have the righteousness of Christ on us. God says that his angels encamp about us. Done deal on that, right there. So why do we walk around fearful of the devil? I'm not afraid of the devil. Oh, yes, you are. Because as soon as he shows up, people, you see Christians just run in all directions. It takes maturity and it takes growth and it takes some experiences to get to the point of being able to stand your ground on those things. I understand it. But what God is saying today, that we need to know that he is with us. He's watching over us. We are the apple of his eye. Or you think he's just going to let the devil come down, swoop in on a storm, kick you into the lake, and just leave you there? No, God's watching over it. The day will come when we'll see how much God has actually done to protect us. The day will come. And we will be amazed and we'll go, man, why didn't I try more? Why didn't I do more? Why didn't I step out more? Because it's like, I was listening this morning, Elisha, his first servant didn't turn out very good. Elisha was a prophet in the Old Testament. One of the greatest, the only one who did more miracles in the Bible than Elisha was Jesus. Elisha did amazing things. Anyway, his first guy that he had as a servant went after some filthy gain, and that was the end of him. They got rid of him. But this new kid came in. He was a young man. And the Syrian army surrounded the town where Elisha was, and they were trying to get Elisha. And the young servant came out in the morning and saw all of the army surrounding the town.
Oh, man.
And he was terrified. And Elisha just said, oh, God, just open his eyes and let him see that more are they that are with us than they that are with them. And all of a sudden, his servant's eyes were opened and he was able to see the spiritual realm. And if you could see the spiritual realm, trust me, we would walk with a much different attitude about life. But he saw the flaming chariots of the Lord of the heaven's armies. And he went, oh, everything's okay, right? And God smote the army with blindness, and it was really an interesting story. But what we need to know, that more are they that are with us than they that are with the world. So what does that cause? Does that cause some kind of arrogance? Does that cause some kind of pride? Does that cause some kind of haughtiness of spirit? No, that's not why God is saying that. That is so that we can have the strength, faith, to step out and do what it is God wants us to do. To face those situations in our life that look like they're trying to stop us. And look at them and go, wait a minute. No, I know what God told me. I know what I'm feeling. I know what I'm supposed to be doing. I know what's supposed to be happening here. I know this marriage isn't supposed to be breaking up. I know this person isn't supposed to be dying. I know I'm supposed to be getting this job. Whatever it is, that you just stand your ground and go, no, I'm not giving in. I'm not giving in. Now, God, sometimes, yes, things come in our way and cause us to go in another direction. Wonderful detours that God gives us. It's amazing, and it's good. But God will let you know that, and there will be a peace about that. And your people that are with you, mature people with you, you get them to pray with you, and they'll help you discern what the right direction is. But the greater truth is that God is with us, and we do not have to worry about the future. We do not have to worry about today. We don't have to be full of anxiety. Yes, there's some people who have natural anxiety disorders. Absolutely. And I've had one. So I know what that's like. There's absolutely nothing to be anxious about. There's nothing going wrong in your life. Everything is fine. And you are an absolute hand-wringing, paralyzed anxiety and fear. I understand that. Spent 14 years going in and out of that. I know what that's like. But even in that, you have the ability, and it's the only thing that got me through, was saying, my God is greater than this. And I know this ain't where God's going to leave me. It's not where God's going to leave me. I'm not going to be sitting on the couch in my house, wringing my hands for the rest of my life. I knew that that was not God's plan, purpose, and I knew his power was greater than that. It didn't seem like it was working for many, many months at a time. It would seem like it wasn't working. I was believing in vain. And then kaboom, kaboom, all of a sudden you come out of it, and God brings you through. And he woke up, and all of a sudden, kaboom, the storm is over. And they instantly are at the shore, and everything's fine. So what God is saying to us today is that we need to trust that God is with us. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what the situation is. I don't know what life is trying to tell you about your future. I don't know what the life is trying to tell you about your present. But I'm here to tell you that whatever it is, God is in it with you. He is in it with you. And if God be for you, who can be against you? That wonderful scripture, there's some fundamental scriptures that everybody should know in Christianity. And one of them is, no weapon formed against us will prosper. That is a truth. That is an absolute, take it to your grave, truth. The only thing that will stop the hand of God in our life is us. That's the only thing that will do it. When we look at this and don't believe it. When we hear God and don't listen to it. And when we have our brothers and sisters encourage us and we just go out the door and it goes off us, you know, like a bad smell, that nothing happens, right? It's us that are in control. It's an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing that God has subjected his will to ours. It's a scary thing. And if somebody really, really, really doesn't want God and really wants, you know, hell puts out a pretty nice card. When you go to Vegas, I've never been to Vegas. I know a lot of people have been to Vegas. And people will stand on the sidewalk and give cards out so that you can have anything you want. And you know what I mean. Anything you want. And they're just putting the cards there. Just phone this number, and there's a nice little picture there, and it makes all look great, good and everything. Hell has a very nice calling card if you are a carnal human being who has no desire for God, because the only thing that's left is hedonism. And so if you're just in life to fulfill your lusts, to fulfill your desires, the pride of life, the lust of the eyes, the promotion of self, the world's got a whole bunch of stuff out there that makes it look pretty good and pretty easy, and let's just go this way. But God knows the end thereof. There is an end to that. And God, if God's such a gentleman, if you insist on that, and if that's what you really love, God will give you what you love, all the way right into hell. And what is hell? Hell is separation, eternal separation from God. That's what it is. You know, that's another sermon all in itself. But for us today who are not walking in that direction, we just need to know that what's coming against you is not actually able to stop you. That greater is he that is with you than he that is in the world. That there is a force within you that if you would just lay your head down and go to sleep and trust God, then God will be our fighter and he will be our warrior. There's a wonderful scripture in the Old Testament that says he will be our buckler. And the buckler is the person who puts your saddle on your horse. And I don't know if you've ever been on, if you've ever been on a horse when the saddle lets go. It's not pretty. And I've been on one and you're just going sideways and eventually you're on the ground. But so you need a good buckler who's going to make sure that what is there is secure. And that's what God does. And he has made your salvation secure. And he said, well, just in case you don't know, I'll give you the gift of the Holy Spirit, which is it's kind of like a deposit saying God is going to be with you and God is going to carry you through this. But again, it comes down to whether or not we believe it. So, Father, I just thank you today for what you're telling us about Jesus asleep in the back of the boat. Asleep in the back of the boat. And Lord, I pray that Holy Spirit, right now, you would speak to us and let us know where we are awake and we should be asleep. That what is terrifying us, what has made us think that our future is never going to happen, what has made us think that this is the end of our life, what has made us think that the good thing, the right thing, and the thing that you have put in our heart is not going to happen. Father, for those that are living with that battle in their life, Father, I pray that we would stand right now and we would stand as a declaration of belief and a declaration of trust and a declaration that our God reigns, that our Lord is supreme. Scripture says that Jesus, you are seated in heavenly places, high above every power and principality, every name that can be named both in heaven and in earth. And Father, so we stand today believing that Father God, you are with us. and we are going to walk with you, and we are going to succeed because our hand is in your hand. And Father, we let go of the hand of fear. We let go of the hand of anxiety. We let go of the hand of discouragement. And we put our hand in yours that says we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So, Father, I just pronounce your good future over your people today. Your good future over your people. Father, increase our faith. Cause us to hear your word ringing in our ears. And let us know today that, Father God, when we walk from this place, we are walking stronger. We are walking more deliberate. And we are walking in the direction that you have for us in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. You know, God, I was listening to, it was Oprah. Someone did an interview. I mentioned it the other day to you. I was listening to that interview with her. And she was saying the reason for her success and the reason that she has been able to do what she has been able to do is she said, from a little girl, she said, I have put my hand in the hand of a divine God that is able to do what I cannot. And she said, I have never let go of that hand. And she said, so all kinds of things have come and said, I can't and I won't. And even that preacher in the States that prophesied over her way back in the 80s, it would have been the 80s or 70s, and said, God is going to use you to touch millions of people. And you know, whatever. And a lot of things have come to try to stop that. But she said, I always kept my hand in God's hand. And it's kind of worked for her. And it will work for you and I too. Draw near to me and I will draw near to you. Right? And we don't have to necessarily have Oprah's success. That's not what I'm talking about. Our personal journeys that God has for us. And this is what Jesus died to give us. And today we're gonna go into communion. And just remember